Why Russia can't just switch off natural gas to the West. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. 40% of Europe's natural gas comes from Russia. Last week, Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak warned Moscow could turn off the gas to Europe in response to sanctions and Germany nixing the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline that circumvents Ukraine. Russian gas is still on, but let's consult a political scientist who spent years studying the fine details of Russian pipelines and how that country uses its energy to assert global power. Margarita Balmaceda is a professor of diplomacy and international relations at Seton Hall University. Her new book, remarkably timed, is called Russian Energy Chains.
Somebody like Putin loves the optics of closing the pipeline, closing the supply spigot. But in reality, natural gas doesn't really work like that. You cannot really stop producing natural gas so quickly. And if you do not have somewhere to store natural gas that you have already produced, your only choice is either to let it flare in the air or to continue shipping it.
But if it didn't go to Europe, why couldn't it route its natural gas toward another willing customer? I mean, they've been building infrastructure, the Russians and the Chinese, to do just that.
Well, that's a very, very good question. But here we need to understand geography, and we also need to understand what natural gas is. Natural gas is obviously a gas, so we're going to be having to talk about pipelines. And the reality is that pipelines to transport Russian natural gas to China are not really there to ship the amounts of natural gas we're talking about. Now, we also need to remember that currently, the natural gas that is sent to Western Europe, to Europe in general, is produced in Western Siberia. And the gas that is sold to China is produced elsewhere in Siberia, closer to China. And these two areas are not connected. So it's difficult. It will be difficult for Russia to redirect that natural gas.
Well, here's the thing, right? If the Russians couldn't redirect the natural gas, if they turned off the spigot somehow to Western Europe, and they did flare it off, it would just be burning money at a time that Russia, because of sanctions, really needs the money.
Absolutely. So I think it is in Russia's interest to continue selling as much natural gas as it can within the reality that the European Union is going to be reducing imports, because otherwise it would not only be a huge environmental problem to be flaring all that gas into the atmosphere, but also it will deprive Russia of income that it wants and needs.
And thinking about energy chains, a major calculation both by Russia and by Europe and by the United States is trying to figure out just how much money consumers are prepared to pay for heating and other fuels.
Absolutely. And in my view, this is going to be a very, very key issue when we are talking about European Union policies. Let's remember that the prices paid by consumers in Europe are in general much higher than the prices we pay here. And there needs to be a very clear consideration of what kind of measures may be taken to soften that blow for the consumer. Because if you have a political backlash, like you had several years ago with the yellow vests in France and Germany, there may be political pressure to change policy vis-a-vis the limitation of imports from Russia. And that would be really terrible for Ukraine and also for decarbonization and for security in general.
Margarita Balmaceda is Seton Hall University Professor of Diplomacy and International Relations. She's also with Harvard's Ukrainian Research Institute. Her new book is entitled Russian Energy Chains, The Remaking of Technopolitics from Siberia to Ukraine to the European Union. Dr. Balmaceda, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Checking markets this morning, crude oil is back below $100 a barrel in New York, actually $97 now, a drop of more than 30% from a recent high. After the Dow ended essentially unchanged yesterday, it was weird. Dow futures are down 57 points, 0.2%. S&P futures down 0.1%. Ahead of the Fed's big interest rate decision tomorrow, the 10-year rate is steady, 2.11%. Russia's President Putin has signed a law allowing his country's airlines to hang on to airliners leased from European countries, a violation of international sanctions. Hundreds of leased planes are in limbo. Marketplace's Nova Safos here with more.
David, this is something new for the air transportation industry. Airplane leasing companies have an estimated $10 billion worth of planes rented out by Russian airlines, Boeing and Airbus planes. European Union sanctions require companies located in the EU to end their aircraft leases in Russia by March 28th. Now, this new Russian law gets around that by allowing the country's airlines to re-register the planes in Russia. That allows the planes to keep flying, at least inside the country. Now, we don't know yet if the airlines in Russia will do this, but they now have that option as they stare down the March 28th deadline. But there's also the question of how long they could keep these planes flying even inside the country. And that's because the planes eventually need spare parts, and there are sanctions on those as well. And Boeing and Airbus have both said they won't service Russian planes.
Now, the first thing is like missing car lease payments, but sending in the repo squad is complicated.
Definitely complicated. There have actually already been reports of trying to repossess planes, leased planes taken from Russian airlines when they landed in Istanbul, Mexico City, and some failed efforts as well. Russia's aviation regulatory agency has warned its airlines not to fly leased planes out of the country. As long as they're in Russia, they can't be repossessed. Of course, that's almost an unnecessary warning at this point. Europe and the U.S. have closed their skies to Russian planes. Russia has reciprocated. And the more likely outcome, David, should Russian airlines re-register planes, is that there will be lengthy legal battles.
All right, Nova, thank you. And there's news: Ford is going to ship and sell Explorer SUVs without all the parts, given the microchip shortage. The idea is you snap the rest together when the parts come in, like building an IKEA bookcase on wheels. Dave Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.